Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14, and we're going to read together verses 25 through 27. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning. We thank you for the time of worship and praise. And we thank you that what you have on the agenda for us, Lord, in the near future. But Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Our Prince of Peace. Saints, right now throughout our nation, we're seeing a whole lot of chaos. We're seeing a nation that's divided politically. We're seeing mobs of people that are angry. We're seeing evildoers walking into a synagogue and just taking 11 lives like it was nothing. We're seeing our schools being riddled with gunmen going into schools. And we're seeing a spirit of restlessness throughout our nation. And what our nation needs to understand is that there will never be true peace unless they have the real peace. And the real peace is the Prince of Peace. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we are men and women most miserable. And so there's a longing within our soul that is always seeking and searching. And we as the church, we need to be the voice now. Can I get an amen? We need to be a John the Baptist type of ministry, a voice crying in the wilderness that this nation needs to hear God's voice once again. And it first starts with repentance. Can I get an amen? For without repentance, no one shall see the Lord. And so are we there at John 14? Let's all read together verses 25 through 27. And it reads, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints, Jesus wasn't saying all their conditions would be serene when he spoke to the disciples, and as God is speaking to us right now. He didn't say that life was going to be easy and comfortable. On the contrary, saints, he was telling them that they would have peace of mind and heart, even though their circumstances were painful, difficult, and uncertain. And this is the same kind of peace Jesus promises to all of us who belong to him. Aren't you so blessed that you belong to him? Saints, the peace Christ gives is a settled sense of satisfaction in him, through him. It's not dependent upon good conditions, but on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can be confident that no matter what we face in life, he is with us and in us through the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Look what it says up here in John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you" what? "Another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Saints, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit that lives within us, He is there forever. Can I get an amen? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. Say that with me. You know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you. And then He goes on to say, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Amen? Aren't you so blessed to know that? And one of these days, saints, whether we die or Jesus comes first, all the troubles of life will be over. Amen. And we will be in heaven with Him forever and forever. Then everything will be made right just as He promised you and I. But until then, we have His peace within us as we live in this world's pain and trouble. I'm sure you've had your share of pain and trouble. Can I get an amen? And so let's look at this. Christ's peace is not like that which the world offers. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, you know, there used to be all kinds of innocent sitcoms. You don't want to watch the sitcoms of today. But back then, remember this one? Peace, Love, Bobby Sherman. You remember that one? Okay, that was way before your time. Oh, someone remembers that. Amen. And then you had that 1960 hippie movement, peace. And then we had even President Nixon, peace. But the peace that the world is truly longing for doesn't come from within this earth. It has to come from heaven. It has to be given by God to mankind. Why? Because we live in this sinful body. And this body automatically sins all by itself. Can I get an amen? Let's look at Philippians right up here. Look at this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And look at Paul said. He says, and the peace of God. You see, you're not going to have true peace until the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds, but it's only through Christ. It's not through the world system. It's not through a social system. It's not through a political system. It has to come from Christ. And saints, this age is not characterized by peace, whether it's external or internal. People are just anxious about their jobs and finances and relationships and situations. Why? Because the world cannot give them the peace that transcends circumstances. The only thing it can offer is counterfeits, which falsely promise that peace will come when they can have whatever they want. Let me just say this. If someone were to give you and sign over a home in Rancho Santa Fe, that will not bring peace. You know why? Because you don't want to see the property tax bill. You don't want to know how much it'll cost for a termite company to come and termite that place. Or when the plumbing breaks down. There's always something that will raise up its ugly head to show you that whatever this world has to offer will not bring you true peace. But how many know that we're living in perilous times? As I just shared, a man walks into a synagogue and takes away 11 lives. One of them was 94 years old, worshiping God. And his life was taken away by a madman. That was pure evil. But God said in the last days, we would see these things. Look at this in 1 and 2 Timothy. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They're upon us right now. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Look at this. unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You see, there's people that come to churches and synagogues and places of worship, and that's great. But many of them are denying the power of God to work within them. And so this is why we yearn for the Spirit of God to live mightily in our hearts. Can I get amen? Because only He can give the true peace. Many of us are going to go through trials and tribulations of this life, but you need the power of God, hallelujah, to work in your heart. That's right. Because having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Look at this. And look what else they do in verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the day that we live in. Paul wrote this and said in the last days we would see this type of a lifestyle, and we're seeing it right for what it is. You can't even turn on your television and watch honest news no more. I've never seen in the history of our nation the president of the United States being slandered and mocked. Listen, you may not like him, but at least have reverence for the seat. Have reverence for the position that God has raised them up in. The Bible says God raises up kings and He sets them down. We need to have reverential fear of the things that God has instituted for mankind. This is why He created government. This is why He created law enforcement, to keep us in check, because our hearts are continually doing evil. Saints, in the days when Jesus lived on earth, Rome was doing its best to keep external peace in the empire by subjecting everyone in two ways, through power and pain. This is why they thought the Messiah, that Jesus would come, would be their deliverer. He thought that He was going to overthrow their government. Jesus came a whole different way. He didn't come to overtake Rome. Jesus came, hallelujah, to conquer our hearts. Our hearts were darkened and sin-laden, and Jesus had to come and set us free. Hallelujah. But the peace Christ gives, it doesn't come through coercion. Look at this up here for a minute. The Greek word for peace is eirene, which means to bind or join together, signifying oneness without strife or consternation. This is how we should operate the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. There should not be any strife within us. Why? There should be no room for strife and chaos and backbiting and slandering. But if we truly have the peace of God, we should be building each other up. Can I get amen? What can I do to build you up? What can I do to pray for you? How can I help you? But quite opposite is what we see today. I'm just looking to find just a little area that I can pounce on you. And just remember this, as we point our fingers at people, there's what, three pointing right back at you. And so before we can take the little speck out of someone's eye, let us remove the beam first in our eye. Can I get amen? Amen. Jesus Christ offers peace that comes when a person is bound together with Him. You have to be bound up together with Him. And this is why throughout the Gospels, it talks about the strong man, that Jesus has to come and bind the strong man. What is the strong man? That is our human nature that rebels automatically against God. So He has to come and bind that. so that we can walk with him, we can talk with him, we can praise him and worship him. Look what it says in Colossians right up here. Therefore, as the elect of God, how many believe that you are truly the elect of God? That's right. He chose you. We didn't choose him. We were walking in darkness at one time, and Jesus came. Hallelujah. Look at this. The elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? That's right. Yes, you have to have patience for that one. That's what it means. No, a lot of we don't have patience, do we? Man, I'm sick and tired of that. Long-suffering, bearing with one another. Oh, that's right. Don't forget, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. This is not an option. I hope you know that. This is a commandment from God. So if you're still hating your brother and sister, something is out of order. You got to take retrospect, man. Is the peace of God? Is the Holy Spirit living within me? But above all these things, say that with me. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God, there it is, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Did I hear someone say, and be miserable? Be thankful. Can I get amen? I know things sometimes don't go the way we want them, but guess what? Even as you are going through that trial, be thankful. Be thankful. Saints, without that relationship with God, genuine peace will always be missing, no matter how many other good relationships one may have. Furthermore, saints, anxiety and a lack of tranquility may result in physical ailments. Did you know that? If you're harboring hate, discord, and you're slandering your brother, man, you may have to take 3 more pills for your blood pressure. Oh, come on. You want your sugar to be spiked up? Keep on hating your brother. Oh, yeah. You know what? Because all those things, those issues of the heart, affect your physical body. Although people oftentimes seek relief in other alternatives, they will never truly find peace apart from Christ. So, Jesus is the source of this peace. He's the peace that mankind is longing for. Saints, Christ's peace is not something that we can work to attain, but a gift freely given to all who belong to him. It's actually the gift of himself that is acquired at salvation. Aren't you so blessed? You remember when you got saved, the joy of the Lord came upon you. The corner of your mouth were pinned to your ears. You're, oh my gosh. And people thought you lost it. At that moment, an external relationship with Christ is established. And where he is, there is peace. Can I get amen? One of the evidences of this relationship with the Prince of Peace is that we become peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? Or are you ready to get in someone's grill? What up? I see you looking at me like that. Come on, that should have been our old nature, crucified. Can I get amen? Because God said this. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, this past April when we were in Israel, we got to see the Mount of Beatitudes up there. Amen? When we were by the Sea of Galilee. But look what he says. Blessed. Say that with me. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You want to be called a son of God? You better, man, you better drop your swords. even when they despisingly use you and mock you and slander you, drop that sword. Be a peacemaker. Hallelujah. And let God deal with them. Can I get an amen? Did you know that God fights your battles? If you don't know that by now, then you need to drop your sword. And then watch God fight your battle. And the most basic way of doing this is by connecting other people to the ultimate peacemaker, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people do you know in your life that you know they're just so restless, anxiety-driven, always, oh, woe is me. They need Jesus. That's a sign that's going ding, 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 ding. I need Jesus. And this is where we need to come alongside and point them to the cross. Now, there is a narrow path that leads to peace. It's a narrow path. Saints, the world offers a wide selection of ways to find tranquility, but they're all false. I hope you know that. Yet this is the path most people choose. They move from one false hope to the next, but are never able to satisfy the gnawing need for peace in their hearts. So a lot of people gravitate to this right up here. Look at this. Sexual gratification, drugs and alcohol, gambling, dependency on others. Instead of, I can do this, God strengthened me, and I can go work, and I can go do this, and I can pray, and I, but this is a very easy escape. And you'll never find peace that surpasses all understanding. When Jesus sent his disciples out to proclaim the kingdom of God, this is what he said to them. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Hallelujah. Just remember that. When you go and visit a friend, when you come over someone's home, when you go visit a relative, a cousin, an aunt, or an uncle, maybe a co-worker, as soon as you step in, start praying, Lord, let there be peace in this house. And let them know your true concern for them. You know why? Because they're looking, they're searching, especially if they don't know Christ. Saints, this verse is a good reminder for us to pray for those whose homes we visit, I just shared. Although we may not know the circumstances of their lives, the Lord does. And we can pray that they will receive Jesus as Savior and Lord and experience his amazing grace. Did you know that God had amazing grace toward us? Come on, just go back for a moment and just take one glimpse of your BC years. Remember how horrible that was? We need to be thankful, huh? And so, saints, look at this right up here. We're going to look at a couple of principles. On the narrow path to peace, there are obstacles that steal our peace. And that's the last thing that we can afford, is the enemy or even ourself to steal the peace that God has given us. Did you know that the enemy lurks? He's plotting and waiting to prounce on you to steal your peace and to steal your joy. Why? Because if he could get you into a strait of a place of frustration, he's won. And that's what the enemy wants to see. And so let's look at our first principle here. Lustful thoughts. When a Christian is looking where he shouldn't and desiring something sinful, he will have no peace because of the conviction of sin that comes from God's Spirit within. Lust always creates chaos in the heart and soul. So for that one moment of gratification, whether it's thought or deed, and if you're a true child of God, the conviction will come and you will not be in peace. You'll wrestle. And people will see that you're wrestling with something. And yet, you're wrestling in your own heart. You're wrestling in your own heart. Look what 1 John says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Can I get an amen? How many want to continue to abide in the will of God? Amen. God will strengthen you. He'll fortify you. He'll cleanse you and wash you. Here's another principle that tries to steal your peace. Is guilt. Guilt. Peace is fragile and is easily lost when we feel the guilt of our sin. It could be something we said or did that we shouldn't have. Or perhaps something we should have said or done but didn't. Either way, saints, our peace evaporates under the Spirit of God's conviction. And so, here's the fix. Aren't you so blessed that God has a fix for us? You know, we call the doctor. He says, well, here, take these two and call me in the morning. Okay, yeah. That's a temporary fix. But if you want true, internal, a heart fixed before God, it's right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all means what?
All.
All. God makes a way for his children. He makes a way of escape. And here's another one that will steal your peace, your joy, your tranquility with God. Is this one. Anger. You ever been angry? You hear that saying, I'm so angry, I'm cross-eyed. That's when you're boiling mad. You see, peace and anger, they do not coexist. I hope you know that. Just like when you walk into a pitch dark room, as soon as you turn the light, the darkness is gone. It cannot coexist together. Neither can peace or anger. They don't cohabitate together. Animosity towards someone stirs up negative emotions and robs us of a tranquility, a peace of God's Spirit. Oh, yeah. So we are encouraged through the Scripture. How many are so blessed that the Scriptures bring medicine to our soul? Huh? Man, if you're not reading Scripture in church, something's wrong. It can't be just a fluffy message. You got to have God's word to back it. Can I get amen? Look what it says right up here. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. The psalmist said that thousands of years ago, and it still stands today. Look what Proverbs says. Whoever is slow to anger and has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Meaning, you could just kick a little pebble right by me and I get angry because you kicked a little pebble. Someone that will fly off the handle for anything. There's people like that. Wait to see you trip up so I can be mad at you. That lets me know the peace of God is not in that person's heart. This is why God says, be careful. Look at this. In James 1:20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Why are you being angry? For what? To me, that's a wasted moment. Can I get an amen? Amen? It's a wasted moment. Yeah, I know the Scripture says angry, but sin not. That means let that anger pass as quickly as possible. Can I get amen? You let it fester and fester, man, it becomes a cancer. Then your whole body will be filled with darkness. Here's another principle here. Bitterness. How many people do you know have wronged you? Okay, one person. So, man, everyone's cool with you, huh? That's another killer right there. Bitterness. But you don't see what they did. You didn't see what they heard. You didn't hear what they said to me. All these things will come up, and a root of bitterness will spring up. If we allow past hurtful experience to fester, saints, we will have no peace because our focus is on the wrong done to us and not on Christ. He suffered more injustice than anyone else ever has, but harbored no bitter. Aren't you so blessed when he was on the cross? When he was on the cross, I'm not going to forget what you said. Yeah, you wait till I see you. No, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the greatest demonstration of love. And before he gave up his spirit, he was still at peace with his heavenly Father. My goodness. Let us learn from him. Let us learn from him. He suffered more injustice than anyone else, saints. He harbored no bitterness. And we are to follow his example. Can I get an amen? Look what it says up in Hebrews here. See it to that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Just your own bitter heart will defile someone. Wah, 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 wah. And next thing they're trying to defend themselves. And then their heart becomes defiled because of your bitterness. That's what God's word is saying. So we have to what? Harness. Remove. Say, God, remove these things. I don't want it to fester like a cancer. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. It shouldn't even be spoken of us no more. If we understand the true forgiveness of the cross, then we must also demonstrate the true forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Here's another one that will rob our peace. If self-centeredness. It's all about me, man. It's all about me. And when it becomes all about you, the world around you could be crashing and you don't care because it's all about you. Look at this. Paul had to address that. Do you know Paul addressed all these issues of the heart to all these churches? Why? In all these areas? Why? Because the human heart is the same over there as well as over there and over there and over there and wherever he went, the same human heart he had to deal with. Can I get an amen? To expose what's in us. Look at this in Philippians. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Can you and I learn to just die to self? Yeah, I know you did me wrong. Well, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help. I'm going to ask God to strengthen you and help you, that you would have a mind like his, that once the change comes, we can all be at peace with one another. That's how it works. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Man, but if it's all about me, I don't have time for your concern. I don't have time for your need. Because it's all about me. And that's not what God intended. Can I get an amen? How many believe in God's promises? How many believe that when we close our eyes here for the last time, when we open them, we will see him in glory. Amen? Amen? And how many times has God promised you precious things that are for you? And maybe, just maybe, you don't see your son or daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your mom or dad, your grandparents, not yet saved yet, but you felt God has promised you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, guess what will steal your peace when you doubt him? When you doubt God. Anytime we doubt the truth of God's word or his promise to answer our prayers, we can't have the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. We can't. Why? Because we're saying, God, I just can't believe your word. My circumstance is greater than your promises. And once you come to that place, you will receive nothing from God. Nothing. You know why? Because James laid it out clearly. Look at what James said. He said that, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven, tossed by the wind. That means I believe today, but tomorrow I don't believe you. Because my circumstances have changed. But yet, God's promises never change. So how many would rather cling on to God's word? Yeah, Lord, it hurts. Yeah, God, I know it's painful, but I'm going to trust in you. That's why it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will what? Direct your path. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus spelled it out clearly in Matthew. Look at this. And Jesus answered him, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. You know what he's saying? Why are you worried about maybe your son and daughter not serving the Lord yet? You got to know that God will bring them into that place of repentance. Can I get amen? Amen. Maybe you've been praying and say, God, you know, it would be a blessing that you can elevate me financially on my job. But guess what? I'm going to shine bright before you, before man. And I'm going to trust in you. And watch God just open a door and says, you know what? We've been watching you. And it's time now to be elevated. See, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. But we walk into the supervisor, you know what? I've been here all this time, man. And, you know, I'm due now. Really? Well, I need you to see what you're doing for about another 2 more years, then come back and see me. You humble yourself. Go to your prayer closet and cry out to God. Let him know your concerns. He already knows them already. Now, we looked at many principles that will rob your peace. This is a killer one right here, is unbelief. Unbelief. You see, saints, those without Christ cannot have his peace because they don't have a relationship with him. We get that. They may display a limited or conditional serenity, but it is easily lost and won't last. It won't. You got to have the Prince of Peace living in. Hallelujah. That's right. My goodness. Look what Matthew says. We just read it in another scripture, but look what Matthew says. And Jesus answers, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, we just read that, but you will move that mountain. How many want mountains? Let me ask you, how many mountains are in your way right now? Come on, I know it's bigger than a little termite molehill. Some of you have Mount Everest right in front of you. And you're looking at it like this, and it's so big. And you're going, oh my gosh, oh God, when are you going to deliver me from this? Amen. You know what God is saying? Speak to that mountain. Amen. Speak to that mountain. Lord, I'm going to love you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to bless you, God. And as you continue to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that mountain will start crumbling right before you. You got to believe God, hallelujah, for his word. He wouldn't have put that up there if he didn't mean it. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Can I get an amen? But when you start doubting because time has gone by, guess what? It's like a football game. A foul's committed. So now you got to go back 15 yards and start from that point again. You catch this? Listen, we cannot have these little mind games with God. We got to believe what he said, and we have to remind ourselves, it's not about me. It's all about you, God. Some of you would love to have your children in church. Some of you would love to have your wives and your husbands in church. Some of you are praying for a husband. Some of you are praying for a wife. Some of you have all these mountains. And God is saying, can you trust me? Can you wait upon me? I hope you know, not only did he save us to be a witness before him, but he said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God will just tap in to his resources that are so abundant beyond comprehension and will bless you in his time. He's blessing. Listen, we woke up this morning. That was a blessing in itself. Some people didn't wake up this morning. Jesus, help us. Here's another principle that'll rob you. That's right. It will rob you. All these things is what we see in our nation today. We see it in our streets. We see it on television, on news. We see it even in our neighbor next door. Here's another one that'll rip you off is jealousy. How come they're building a pool and I got a shrub of a backyard? Well, here's the fix. Go next door, knock on the door, and give them a pie and say, hi, friend. And guess what? They'll say, come on over and swim with us. Go bring a peace offering, a love offering. Hey, We just made this peach cobbler pie. I thought of you guys here. And guess what? They'll probably let you swim in their pool. You see, saints, a preoccupation with a desire to have what belongs to someone else robs us of tranquility and contentment. Oh, yeah. Look what James says. He says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You're not going to learn this in other places. You know why? They just want to give you a fairy tale story about the issues of our heart. And we deal with these issues every day, 24/7. We need to be reminded, oh God, watch over me, help me. Give me the desire to honor you and to walk in your ways, that my life will make a difference in someone else's life, that will point them to the cross. They need to see a life that's different from theirs. And I'm not saying that we're better. No, our life should be a drumline, a pointer always to the cross. Pointing them to the cross, that God will have mercy. Look what it says here in Proverbs. Wrath is cruel, anger overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? That's a harsh one there. You know, when someone's jealous of you, man, I'm telling you, that person's heart will be in 24/7 turmoil. Because you know what they're doing? They're conjuring up stuff in their mind to watch you fall and be destroyed. Because they're jealous of you. That's worse than stage 4 cancer. It truly is. My goodness. Look at this in Galatians. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity. Look at that. Sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, and I underline jealousy. It's all in there. It's all in there. This is the conditions of the sinful nature that God deals with us on a daily basis. Did you know he deals on us? You know that we are a work in progress? Or have you arrived already? Man, I'm Brother Saint so-and-so now. Oh no, we're all wretched. We're all wretched. Look at this. Sorcery, enmity, sorcery. Sorcery is actually a Greek word, is pharmakia. Sorcery means drug users, drug addicts. We think it's Merlin the magician with his wand. No. And now you could go to a convenience store and buy your weed now. Before, we used to go meet someone at 7-Eleven. Oh, you remember those days, don't you? Look at this. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if you want to continue to roll up in your jealousy for someone, remember what you heard God's word say about you. What God's word said about me. I'm in this with you. There's no big I's and little U's at the cross. Can I get an amen? We're all equal at the cross. All of us are. We can't escape God. And we're not to run and try to escape from him. We are to embrace the cross. Embrace him. And thank him for his mercy and his grace and his love toward us. Because none of us deserve this great salvation. Hallelujah. So now, how can we experience Christ's peace, saints? Number one, we must believe that he is. He is in control of our lives and our circumstances. Otherwise, we will try to take control, and there is conflict in that struggle. You got to know that God's in control. Can I get amen? Know that, saints. Listen, for some of you that don't think Tuesday is going to be just another day. Oh, here comes another election. No. This is vital for our country. I hope you know that. Set aside political positions. I vote platform. If that person running for office is for the sanctity of life, I'm voting for that person. You know, churches won't talk about abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. You know, that's all an abomination to God. I hope you know that. And guess what? The Word of God still says it's an abomination. It hasn't changed. We are to love them and pray that God will deliver them from that lifestyle. God hates the sin. He loves His created beings. And we are to love them too. But guess what? We can't take none of them with us into glory. There comes a point, you got to let them go. They got to find Christ for themselves. And you know how that is? Through a heart of repentance. Oh God, forgive me. Cleanse me. I've been a sinner all my life. God, forgive me. They got to come to that place. You and I did. We had to come through the cross. And that's the only safeguard in our lives, is the cross. Number two, look at that. We must believe that Christ's offer of peace is real and be willing to accept it in spite of our feelings. Get self out of the way. Get it out of the way, saints. Number three, we must fully surrender our lives, mind, will, and emotions to Jesus as our Lord. And this includes, saints, yielding and conforming our character, conversation, and conduct to His will, not ours. This is why Jesus, when He was on the cross, or before He went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. He was saying, if I could pass this cup, I will. But then God had to remind him the joy that was set before him. He had to endure the cross. Hallelujah. He endured it for you and I. He had to take the lashings and the beatings and the scourging and the mockings. He had to shed His innocent blood for us, that we would look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we would say, oh God, how wretched are we? And that we would embrace the cross. Embrace it. Don't let it go. Oh God, thank You for dying for me. Thank You for just being who You are. Merciful and gracious to me when I deserve to be on the cross. Having Christ's peace does not mean that we will never have any trouble, suffer any pain or illnesses, or even feel afraid, saints. But whenever these experiences come our way, we will be able to respond with absolute confidence and certainty in the sufficiency of Christ. Did you know that He's sufficient? His grace is sufficient. He is adequate for every situation and will always carry us through it. Can I get an amen? In fact, sometimes the most difficult, painful, and trying circumstances can become the seedbed for the awesome peace of God that He gives us in those particular moments. So when we find ourselves on an island all by ourselves, here comes the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords to comfort us, to lift us up from despair. How many are so thankful to know that He's with us and He's for us and He's never against us? So as I close this message, I leave you with these questions. Number one, is your life characterized more by peace or anxiety? It's either or. Did you know there's no in between? There can't be any doubt, any jealousy, all the things that we talked about. It has to be His total peace dwelling in our hearts. Because if His total peace is dwelling in your hearts, there's no room for any of the other junk we just mentioned. Number two, what situations most commonly rob you of peace? What are they? Oh, here they come. Shut the blinds. Muzzle the dog. Here they come. Let's not answer the doorbell. Is there people in your life you have your joy and peace? Is there situations of life? Someone on your job, someone in school. Could it be even someone that's very close to you that wants to steal your peace? Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Number three, where is your focus in those times? But you just don't know. You didn't hear and see what they said and done to me. Yeah, it stings for a moment. Yeah, you'll gripe for a moment, but don't let it linger. In our flesh, it's naturally to be hurt. But you got to now surrender it to God. Here, God, I can't do nothing with this. I got to drop my sword. Help me, God. Number four, is it on yourself, others, circumstances, the unknowable future, or is it Christ? Huh? Is Christ the one to give you the total peace? Because if it's anything else other than Him, we're headed to a road of danger. I'll take you back to this one. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Oh, that was way before your time, huh? Oh, someone saw that Lost in Space, huh? Number four, five. What is your level of peace when you are trusting God versus when you are trying to control your life or the lives of others? One of the things I've learned is you got to give their space. Where are you at? Where are you going? What time are you going to be back? Call me when you get there. Call me when you're coming home. What? Really? And you just smother them. Say, Lord, yeah, those are good concerns, but allow them to live their life in Christ. And that they would learn to trust God. And that they would do the right thing in life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Worry about your relationship with Christ. And everything's going to then be all right. Can I get an amen? Amen? And lastly, who is more qualified to be the one in charge? You or God? Who's more qualified? Well, let me just see here. I got to think about that for a moment. Okay. So some of you got credentials. Some of you have accolades. You know what Paul said? I count that all as dung for the cause of Christ. He left that whole thing behind him as he pursued Christ. And this is what God is asking us to pursue Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You are the Prince of Peace. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're from everlasting to everlasting, for You are God. And we thank you, God, that you saved us. You drew us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You sealed us until the day of redemption. We are now called the sons and daughters of God. You even call us your friend. We're friends of the King of Kings. Even though we know we're servants, but you call us friends. And so, God, thank you for the saints that came out. Thank you, Lord, for the saints who couldn't make it out this morning. And I'm praying, maybe for those who are listening on the internet right now, maybe they never have given their heart to you. Maybe they never experienced true peace that comes from Christ. And if that's you, we want to pray with you. We want to see God move in your life like he has moved in our life by faith. And all you have to do is have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and he will move that mountain that's right before you. If that's you, we want to pray with you. Pray this simple prayer. Now, just remember, the prayer doesn't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. And he will cleanse you. He will wash you. And he will make you brand new. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.